The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Welcome to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And me, Lloyd Barnes.
And I am live from Las Vegas.
And I am not.
Oh, people in. Did we tell them last week that you weren't? We didn't, did we? I don't think we mentioned last week that you got COVID. No, because we'd never mentioned anything. So Lloyd was meant to be.
I put it on the Facebook group.
Huh?
We put it on the Facebook group. Yeah.
Yeah. You're meant to be a Magic Live, but you caught sheep AIDS. And as a result of that, you couldn't come. They wouldn't let you out of the country. I'm so sorry. You're one of the happiest, nicest people I know. I've never seen you angry. And when I called you, when you sent me the message saying, I'm not going to Magic Live, and I called you, you sounded so pissed off.
Ugh, it's the irony of it all, I think, got to me. It was surviving the pandemic without getting it. The fact that, apart from one day, which was yesterday, where I had to spend the day in bed, and I hate fucking being ill. I was fine. I could have been there, but it was the fact that, and now even the fact that, like, even if you are like net a positive COVID and shit, you can, not that I want to or would, but you can go and socialize. They're not, like, in the UK at least, like, they're not stopping people doing that. I don't think. But it was like, oh fuck, I could just like literally be there. But yeah, and the day before flying, it's almost like you get right to the vinegar stroke. You get cut off.
Anyway, if it makes any difference, it's been the worst convention ever, and you didn't miss anything. No, it was awesome.
Was it actually?
Yeah, it was good, really good. What was really nice about Magic Live, and it's the same thing that I loved about Blackpool, is just seeing people back together again, just seeing that community after 2 years of, you know, basically being locked in our houses around the world, to see everybody together again, sessioning. You know, they have lots of breakout rooms at Magic Live, and just seeing that, it was just wonderful. It really was. It was really, really good.
That's always my favorite thing. You know, and also I miss the set, the jamming that happens at Magic conventions. Not so much like creative jamming, but everyone that's been working on their tricks whilst they've been locked away, or, you know, in general. And then someone will just show you something and it'll either remind you of something, or you'll say, oh my God, oh, can you teach me that? I need to start performing it. Like, and I always find it sitting down at conventions is when you learn the really good stuff. And I love keeping up to date with it and things. So yeah, it's, you know, fuck it. You know, I'm fortunate enough that I've been to almost, there's not many conventions I haven't been to. I've been to multiple times, you know, all over the world. So if anyone should have missed it to let someone else go, then I'm all right with that. And I got to spend some time with the family, so.
You're coming to the session, aren't you?
I haven't even booked my ticket or anything.
Come on, man. Come to the session.
I'm going to be going. I just haven't planned it out. I always do things last minute. It'll be fine.
Your friend Adam Wilber's there. Our friend Adam Wilber, there's one from the bingo card. Yeah, your boy. Wow. Yeah, can't wait to see him. And me and Adam are filming a project. Well,
I know.
You want to jump in on it? You can be on camera. It'd be fun, the three of us.
If I've got time.
You're going to be running around busy, aren't you?
Well, to be honest, I don't know how you're going to have time. You're probably going to have to like do it after the convention or something.
I've not got anything going on at the session. I'm not booked to do anything. They've not booked me. I don't think Vanishing Ink would touch me in a heartbeat. I'm not Vanishing Ink material. I'm not a Christian Grace or a Kermit. Sorry, Joshua J. I'm more of a, sorry, not easy being Josh, not easy being green. I'm not, you know, you look at Christian Grace, he's the poster boy of Vanishing Ink. I don't think they'd touch me with a heartbeat. To be honest, I don't fucking have a clue how Murphys want to touch me with a heartbeat, because I know that Mark Murphy doesn't like controversy, and controversy tends to follow me around whether I like it or not. So, you know, I don't know how that ended up happening. But
I think just because you're not on the payroll, so you're a free agent. That means that they can take the good and they can leave the bad. It's optional. but apart from that, so you've had a good week at Magic. I know we've been calling, speaking on the phone every day.
Yes,
like we lost levers. but I know a bit that's been happening at the convention, some of the stuff you've seen, but I'm guessing everyone else that's listening, I haven't seen any vlogs, you know, from other people. So this is probably for most people the first time they're going to hear the lowdown.
Two people that were vlogging, and they both said to me independently, Lloyd's not here, so we're going to do it instead for him, was Fiddler Johnny. If you know Fiddler Johnny, his YouTube channel is absolute. You don't know Fiddler Johnny Reviews? Oh, man, go check him out later. He's reviewed Lux. I'm sure he's reviewed Lux. Fiddler Johnny.
Fiddler Johnny.
You should subscribe.
You carry on talking. I'll search him.
Yeah. So Fiddler Johnny was running around with a camera and just like videoing everything. And the other person who was vlogging everything was your friend, Tyler Lunsford.
What?
I got to meet Tyler.
I haven't met him in the flesh. I'd love to have met Tyler.
Tyler was great. So you saw Fiddler and Tyler were.
I can see Fiddler's page now. I must have seen it because it says I've watched his review of my app, which is self-indulgent, but fuck it, I've done it.
Really, really nice guy. Like, this is the type of guy he is. When I had my spat with Luke Dancy and we were going back and forth, he actually emailed me and Luke and sent an email copying in both me and Luke saying, just so you know, I'm a trained, couples
therapist,
and I would like to do couples therapy with you and Luke. Would you be up for it? And I just replied back going, yeah, fuck it. Because I think that would be the funniest fucking thing in the world. There's me and Luke in a fucking room together with Fiddler Johnny. I can just imagine Fiddler Johnny holding up.
I can imagine what response you got though from that.
He didn't reply, but it'd be really funny. Fiddler Johnny holding up like a picture of a stick man. Now, Craig, show me where Luke hurt you.
You hold the speaking stick now. That's my cock.
Well, I have the speaking stick. Here's a cock. Your turn.
That's really nice. Well, speaking of that, then, did you see any of your, you know, anyone like that you could have done some couples therapy with? Did you manage to?
You know what? I actually wanted to be waiting for it. I'd organised with Eric Tate to do a Penguin podcast with me and Luke Dancy. And it was going to be the therapy podcast. But unfortunately, I couldn't find Luke. Apparently, he was there one night. But I had an early night that night. And so...
You're twatted drunk.
A little bit. And I blame Murphys for that because they took me out for dinner. And I abused the fact that I didn't have to pay for that dinner. So I'm putting an open challenge right now. And I know he's your boy and I know you know this guy. And we didn't have time to do it at Magic Live, but the next place that he's at, I'm doing it. I'm having a drinking competition with Titanus because he thinks he could drink me under the table. I think I could drink him under the table. So we're going to have a...
is like huge though.
27 pints at the podcast and did a lecture 6 hours later and smashed it.
Very good point. Yeah, 6 hours later. That was mighty impressive, I've got to say.
That's all I'm saying.
I couldn't wake up the next morning after I was teetotal. I was like, oh my fucking God, that was a long night. I had to drag you out of the Ruskin, bumbling over and falling over every single seat from the downstairs to the upstairs.
Wanked. Yeah, I was wanked. Absolutely wanked.
Great success.
I'm fairly sure I was drunk in that lecture. But anyway, so yeah. So what else was that? Okay, it was nice just to see the stars of magic. You know, I mean, I was sitting down.
I wasn't there.
I was sitting. Yeah, no, oh my god, sitting down with David Regal, Blake Voigt, so many. I mean, every big name in magic is at Magic Live. It was really cool. Also, you know, Eric Stevens. Who did Colour Sticks. I'm a big fan of Eric Stevens.
Yeah.
So Eric Stevens, he was in the bar and they said, I want to show you something. And he's learned how to do an Erdnase change with his foot.
What? So
he took his sock off. He took his shoe off. He had me pick a card. He controlled it to the top. He did a double turnover. And then he said, watch. And he just covered the deck up with his foot. Did an Erdnase change with his foot.
I mean, should we be telling people this? This is thing.
No, he was showing it to everyone in the in the bar.
That does sound. Did it literally look amazing as well?
No, it looked amazing. It looked like he just covered the deck up with his foot and made made the card change into the card that he picked. And then he did this again and made the card disappear. It was very good.
See, that's what conventions are all about, man. Like seeing the stuff that you would just not even be thinking on. At all, and then someone just comes out and does crazy stuff like that.
Yeah. Totally agree. Eric's amazing. He's got some great stuff. In terms of the dealer hall,
let's dive into that then. Let's start the product section off.
Properly. All right, okay. Well, you know what? I went around the dealer hall. There wasn't really that much new that was really super exciting. There was a thing that Michael Chatelain was doing with a borrowed bill where it was like a penetration of a borrowed bill through a card. So he's got a card and he's got a bill, but it's kind of like all animated. So it looks like the card just rises. It was all right. It was okay. I felt sorry for Mark Mason.
Oh, wow. World's
greatest pitch man. Turned up to the convention and they lost his bags with all of his product in it.
You joking?
No. So he had nothing to them. World's greatest pitchman had nothing to them.
He must have been, well, he must be able to get insurance.
Yeah, probably. Because... But I mean, still the fact is, how much has he lost out? Why not?
No, but I mean, that's what I mean. Like, if he could say, well, look, on average, I earned this much at a convention, that's how much that bag was worth to me.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because that's not on at all.
Yeah, I mean, that was terrible.
Oof, was he fuming?
Yeah, he was.
I mean, although, I would try to make the best of it. I'd probably just take it as a holiday and just spend my time at the pool.
Yeah, I think he did. I didn't see him in the deal all much at all. Vanishing Ink had an insanely big booth. Like, the most ridiculous. It was like a show home. They had sofas in there. And
well, they paid for a designer to do it all, didn't they? It's all designed bespoke for them.
I was with Mark Mason before the dealer hall opened, and I was just walking around with him. And him and I walked into the Vanishing Ink stand. And you know what Mark Mason's like? And he looked around and he went, I can't believe there's fucking sofas in here. If I had someone at my booth and they sat down at a fucking sofa to go and watch a fucking magic trick. I'd tell them to fuck off. I'm doing my job wrong. Ridiculous. You need a little table and some boxes, and that's all you need. What's all this shit?
Job done. I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, mate, which is really funny. But they had Christian Grace there deming for them.
But he was doing something called Miracle One, wasn't he?
Miracle One, yeah. It's basically... two decks of cards, a red deck and a blue deck. And he has someone pick a card from a red deck. Hang on a second. You talk for a minute. I'm just going to switch
so
that
a red
off.
Deck and a blue deck. And as Craig says, he has somebody pick a card from a red deck. I'm going to assume that the card from the red deck either ends up inside the blue deck and they're now holding a blue card, or the card from the red deck is a three of clubs. And they spread the blue deck and they're all blank apart from the three of clubs. I don't know. I'm just, maybe it's a red deck and a blue deck. They pick a card and then he just produces a coin from behind the ear. And it was all a massive distraction the entire time. Maybe it was just that. Maybe it was all just a ploy to get you going down the rabbit hole in the wrong direction. Who knows? Tune back in next week, where we'll find out the answer when Craig has finally stopped talking to room service. And he's back, kind of. There he is.
Keep talking. I will be 1 minute.
Cool. Well, I'll tell everyone else what about products that I've seen. I've seen Bo called me and said that there's a new product that people were talking about called Flick, where you take a joker and you insert it under the cellophane of a card box face up. And then you flick the card box and that joker changes to a different card. In the example, the Ace of Spades under the cellophane. I could think of a million different methods for this, but I think it was maybe David Penn uploaded a video to his stories. And unless the video, you know, quality played into what would be seen. So like, if you know, which I don't think it was, it looked remarkable. I couldn't see any flaps. I couldn't see any card flicking away or hiding under the box. It purely looked like that card with a flick. It's almost like you hold the tuck box, you undo the lid of the tuck box and you hold it by the flap. So it's almost like you would do a sudden deck by David Regal. And then you just flick the box and it changes. Pretty much is just that from what I can see. I can think of, if you know, I kind of think I know the method, but I'm not guessing the method by what you could see from it. I'm guessing the method because there's not much else I can go off. It's really that clean, instant change. It's not delayed. It's just very, very good. By an Asian magician. I don't know. I didn't see his name in the video. I don't recognize him. But yeah, it looked incredible. So I want to hear more or see more about that because I've only seen one video and you know, Bo said everyone was talking about it. I think David Penn was the one who posted it. So for me, that looked like that's my dog going absolutely apeshit. My apologies, everyone. My door was going crazy. My joint custody dog was being picked up by my ex-partner there. So back to it. Many Linfield Tempest effect. Borrow a watch. Stop it at your command. And whenever you'd like to, then it will start working. And it's more than just a standalone effect. What you actually get with it is, I think it's like 4 to 5 hours of a masterclass on watch stopping effects with borrowed watches, which I've never seen before. I've never really looked much into watch stopping. I know how to do it. I know the classic methods, but to see something that accessible and that good,
I am back.
No, I'm talking about Many Linfield's Tempest. What was that? What's going on for you?
Oh, just something happening at home that I needed to deal with. Nothing important.
Okay. You all good?
So, yeah, but it was just urgent. Sorry. I'm back now. I'm back. That sounds scary. So, where were we?
I also had to jump off the phone then. So, I quickly dived back into things. But my ex-partner was coming to collect my dog because we have joint custody over it. Which is mental.
That is crazy. But at least you still have one dog, so that's good.
Yeah, but still got two in case one died. And it did. So
I know. I remember. You were very upset.
So what were you saying about the trick that you've seen?
Remind me. It was Miracle One. So there was a red deck and a blue deck.
Yeah.
And he had me pick a card from a red deck. So I did. And then he said, in the blue deck, I want you to name a number from 1 to 30. Now, I don't know if that was... he was half presenting it to me. He was half kind of explaining it. So I don't think his presentation would be 1 to 30. I don't know. But he said, name a number from 1 to 30. So I did. And he dealt down to that number. And the card was at that number. So he had a card picked from me. Red deck, named a number from 1 to 30, and the card was at that position. And then the back of the card, it was a blue deck, the back of the card was red. But he said that doesn't always happen. That's a bonus if they name certain numbers, I think.
I'm not that's interesting.
I'm not 100% sure. Like, I've got it. It was very impressive, as you would imagine with anything that Christian does.
You know, it's going to be a worker as well.
Yeah. But it was very, very good.
Well, I've seen the other thing. I kind of have an idea about that one, because I think Christian has mentioned it to me. Now you've said that. I didn't know if it was going to be a deck, card transport or something. But I was talking about Flick, that card box where you put a card in the box and flick it. I've seen a video of it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get a chance to see that, but a lot of people saying that was really good as well.
You didn't see it?
I didn't see it, no.
Oh, my Lord. I seen David Penn, I think it was, his video that he put up into as a story. And it looks like perfect. It just looks perfect. I see no way to describe it. It's amazing. But I thought you would have seen it, so I was hoping you could talk a bit more about it.
No, I didn't see that, unfortunately. I didn't see that one. Sorry, I'm
thinking. There's that. And then I said about Manny Linfield's Tempest. Did you see that there?
Manny Linfield's Tempest. No, I didn't see that either. My God, I suck. I was on the stand a lot of the time, so I only got around very quickly around the dealers.
But the biggest talk then, I suppose, is about Keymaster.
Well, Keymaster.
Keymaster Chrome. Let's talk about it, man. Well,
yeah, it sold out. We took absolutely tons of them. It sold out. Not Keymaster Chrome. That was the one that came before this. It's not Keymaster Chrome. It's Keymaster. You know, it's Keymaster. Keymaster.
This is called Key. Oh, shit. My bad. I take it back.
That's okay. Keymaster Chrome was. And I think there's been a lot of confusion about this. And to clear the confusion up, because I keep getting the same question over and over again, basically, the original Keymaster came out probably about 10 to 15 years ago now. And it was three gimmick keys. It did one routine and it was great. Now, the problem with it was a lot of people struggled doing the trick because the keys were really long. I have big hands, so that wasn't an issue for me. But the keys were quite big and a few people really struggled doing the trick, but it was still very well received. There was a limited edition expansion pack that then came out the following year called Keymaster Reloaded, which had the idea of using Chinatown Half in conjunction with keys, which was okay, but didn't really add anything. Then nothing. And then about 2 years ago, or maybe 3 years ago, Keymaster Chrome came out. Now, just to be clear, so everybody knows, I didn't have anything to do with Keymaster Chrome. It was at a period of time where I wasn't in the Magic community. And when it came out, I didn't even realize it had come out until I saw it on Penguin. And I bought it just to see what it was. But I had nothing to do with this at all. So it's exactly the same as the original Keymaster. I think they even used the same tutorial from the original Keymaster. The only difference is the keys were chrome and cut. That was the only difference, as far as I'm aware. Then, after Keymaster, then you've got this version, which is kind of more of a project, because what I put on this project is this is the first real thing I've bought out since the original Keymaster in terms of keys. And it's everything I know about Keymaster. So there's 10 routines. I think it's about a 3 or 4 hour project. I haven't seen the final cut yet, but I think it's 3 or 4 hour project. There's 10 routines. And the whole idea is it's taking these keys and using these 10 trick routine and act that can run up to 20 minutes, literally hanging on your keychain. Or you can do them all individually separately if you want to. So you can do the trick separately and individually, or you can do them together. There's an extra key. There's 4 keys, not 3, because a lot of the routines use this extra key in order to make it work. I'm trying to think of what else to say. There's some really cool stuff on there. So you've got the original Keymaster routine. My favorite routine on there is a ring and string using a key and a string, where you have the key come off the string over and over again. And in the final phase, they hold onto the key, they hold onto the string, they pull the key off. And it's kind of a sixth sense moment because they pull the key off themselves. And you say, I don't even know how you managed to do that. There's no hole in the key. And they look at the key and there wasn't even a hole on there in the first place. So how are they able to pull it off? That's basically what it is. And it flew off the shelves. Tons of people bought it. It sold out.
Did it sell out?
Yeah, it did. What's yeah? Magic Belay bought one. You know, I actually joked with him. He bought one on the first day, and I was like, right, your homework, Magic, is to go to your room, learn it, and then come on the booth and demo it, because you'll probably do it better than me. You know, he's a legend.
He is one of those, though. He potentially could do it better than you. I do think he's one of the best pitchmen in the world.
Oh, so do I. Absolutely, 100%.
But then it's you, and you nail it, so...
But yeah, people really loved it. The other thing that was there that I was demming, two other things. I mentioned this on your Sunday sessions, but Flip Balm.
Yeah, you performed it. I seen you put up a bunch of photos as well onto your social media.
Yeah.
Of people holding up a red lip balm. Tell me more about that, because
those photos. Imagine Assy wins double exposure, but with lip balm. So you give somebody an original black flavored lip balm, and they examine it, and you point out to people there's actually 35 flavors of lip balm, and you have somebody think of a flavor, and then you take a picture. So you have a bit, so that they're holding on to the black lip balm, and you gather them together into a photo, and you have them you take a picture of them holding on to this black lip balm, and then you can take it on their phone or your phone, it makes no difference. And then you take the lip balm back off them, and you go, well, what was the color what was the flavor you were thinking of? And let's say it's strawberry. It doesn't have to be strawberry. It can be anything. Let's say they say strawberry. You just snap your fingers and rub it, and it turns into strawberry. Like right there, at the tips of the fingers, and they can examine it. It's genuinely lip balm. And you say, because the thing is, when we took the picture, we hadn't changed it to strawberry, and you had a free choice. And then when they look at the picture, now they're holding a strawberry lip balm. So it changes.
I bet that's so direct. And because it uses photos, I bet that gets such a big react. Is there any footage of it anywhere? I bet that gets a huge reaction.
I think there is on Penguin. I think Penguin have got some footage on their Instagram.
Oh, I'm going to literally go and check it now. What was it called? Flip balm.
Yeah, I think there's some...
Sorry, I'm just nerding out trying to find this.
It's really good. I think it's one of the best tricks.
Oh, yeah, there's you, Magic Live. Performing it. It's you performing it to two guys. You got taking a photo. So I play some audio so people can hear. So you're taking a photo of the guys holding the black lip balm. You pick this. Can you hear that clearly? Okay. So Nothing here, nothing there either. Do the Americans get the British wit?
Oh, yeah. Doesn't that change look good?
But here's the thing. Whatever happens to the chat physically happens virtually. There it is, you guys, and now even the chapstick.
Oh, wow. That's Paul Rothman, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then it said, and then it came up and says, and then this happened.
This is Jay. Jay has just bought the last flip bomb by Seth Race, which many people are saying is the second best trick at Magic Live. It would be the best one. It's really good. Shut up. Nobody's asking you, Jay. Take it and go. See you later.
That's so good. That's actually great.
So
what's Brainchild by Kyle Purnell?
Oh my god, that will fool the ever-loving shit out of you.
Oh my god, don't tell me the method, but tell me the effect.
Genuinely, this is the effect, right? I've got one over there. This is the effect. You show a deck of cards, front and back. There's no roughing fluid or anything like that. You just show a deck of cards front and back. Yeah?
Yeah.
You do this. So you spread through the cards like this. And you just say, think of a card. All right?
Okay, I'm thinking of one.
So they think of a card. Then what you do is you say, okay. And you give the deck a few cuts and you mix it up. And they only think of it. They don't tell you what it is. So you mix it up or whatever. And then what you do is you turn the deck face up and you ask them a few questions. You can ask them whatever questions you want to. But how Nick was performing on the stand is name a... You know, what's your full name? And we'll spell your full name. What star sign are you? We'll spell star sign. He asked a few different questions that are completely random. And then the final question is, what's the value of your card?
Yeah.
And so he asked the value of the card and he spells to that. When they get to whatever card they've spelt to, whatever card they've dealt to, because it's a genuinely free choice of number, but he presents it like that, right? You end up on the card. So the card's at the number. The card they thought of is at the number that they've dealt to. And then you then show all the other cards. They're all different. There's no like duplicates or anything like that. There's no short or long. There's no strip or a tape or anything like that. You show the other side and they see they're all blue and their card is the only red one. And everything is immediately examinable.
What on earth?
And that's why A Miracle One by Christian Grace is really good. But it's very similar in meth. It's very similar in the effect to Kyle's trick.
Right.
In the, You have a card, or you don't. I mean, in Christian's version, you pick a card from a different deck. So with Kyle's version, you think of a card. You then have a free choice of number. It's limited to 1 to 30 with Christians. There's not really a limitation with Kyle's. You can't just directly ask for a number, but the questions that you ask are completely free and you can ask whatever question you want. But then Christians can't be examined at the end, whilst Kyle's is immediately examinable. And it's the only red card in the deck, and they've thought of the only red card in the deck.
That's tasty.
It's really good.
Bloody hell. Do you think that's the trick of Magic Live? Like, aside from your own?
I think it is, to be honest. It's the one that immediately was like, oh my God, I want to do that straight away.
Wow. Is it a practical method as well?
Very practical. Very, very practical. It's an instant reset. It's about a 20-second reset. Everything's examinable. It's a different card every time.
Fuck.
Which is the other thing. Not that there's anything wrong with Miracle One. It's very good, but it's the same card every time.
I need to see this.
It's really good.
Can you perform it to me after the podcast?
Well, I haven't learned it yet, but I can describe it to you. No problem.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
The other thing that the best selling trick for Penguin at any rate, and a lot of people were saying that Penguin had the busiest booth. I don't know if that was the case. I didn't see all the other booths, but a lot of people said they had the busiest booth. The best selling trick was Chop. Like Chop sold out within like 4 hours, and they bought like tons of them. It sold out within 4 hours, and then were able to overnight some from their warehouse for the Wednesday morning. And within 45 minutes, they'd sold out again.
Holy cow. Did you show it to... Did any, like, you know, interesting named magicians, like, come and hang out at the booth? Or
we had loads of magicians come out. And your friend and my friend, Rick Lax and Justin Flom, came over.
Oh, cool.
And Justin Flom's dad came over as well, which was really funny. And,
what's he like?
You know what? Rick and Justin were really nice guys. They were really nice guys. I can't fault them. You know, I've ranted about them before. I'm sure when they do their next fucking video, I'll rant about them again. But in terms of meeting them at the convention, they were super fucking nice.
Yeah. Well, you often find that, you know, when you normally you have like with people you cross swords with, mind the thing, that it's often because you're all so passionate about the same thing. Wires get crossed, and they're actually normal people.
Yeah,
sometimes anyway.
So they both bought Chop. They loved it. I'm pretty sure Rick Lax was high, but maybe he would have bought it if he wasn't high. I don't know.
I've only ever seen him in person once, but he was wasted.
Yeah, I think he's always wasted.
That means you've got to be pretty fucking drunk for Lloyd Barnes to call somebody else wasted, because those conventions. I'm normally twatted.
Oh yeah, this guy, you might not have heard of him. He's kind of unknown, he's underground. Not a lot of people know him, but David Copperfield came over to the stand.
What the F?
Along with Chris Kenner.
No, holy shit.
And what was really funny is I had a big crowd around me and I was performing Keymaster. And Nick LaCopper was down the other end. And he shouted over to me, he said, "Hey, Craig, can you perform Chop for this? Can you perform Chop?" And I was like, "Yeah, tell him I'll get to him in a minute. I'm just doing Keymaster." And I look over and it's David Copperfield that wants to see it. And I've just basically said to him, "Yeah, tell him to wait." So I finished performing. And then I've still got the crowd. I'm like, right, I'm going to do Chop now. And he's there at the back of the crowd, like trying to peer over people's shoulders. And I'm like, I'm coming in. And I do Chop. And you know what? He turned around and he said, "Oh, that's such a really, really great routine. Really well constructed. I really like that." And both him and Kenner walked away with the Chop. I know. Now, what I find hilarious about this whole thing, I know that David Copperfield is one of the greatest magicians of all time, right? Okay. I can't imagine him sitting in his bedroom watching the Chop instructions on his phone.
He doesn't have a bedroom. I assume he has like a...
He's got a mansion. He's got fucking... He's probably got a magic...
Evil villain cave.
He's there in his own fucking museum. And he's there and he's like, right, okay, hang on a minute. Right, so now you palm the ball in this hand and hang on, you're picking up the cup. I just can't imagine him sitting there learning a routine. You know, I just can't see
how. I imagine him watching Paul Daniels' videos on YouTube being like, right, the ball goes under the cup, the cup goes under the ball. You flick your ball, it goes back under the cup. And it's just Copperfield.
Oh, dear me. That's funny.
So it sounds like I really missed out then. But it's good because it's not nice of us to sit here and gloat every time we both go to conventions and some people can't make it. So I'm with you guys. I'm with the Magic Podcast family. I also missed out. But Craig vicariously lived it for us.
I did.
It sounds like he had an amazing time.
And I finally got my Eric, thanks to Tyler Lunsford, I finally got my Murphy's versus Penguin, Bo Kramer versus Eric Tate Beardoff.
What? Who was the winner?
I think it was Bo.
No,
I think he's just slightly more luscious. I'm not too sure though.
Did you? Yeah, but what did you tell Bo? Did you tell Eric? Eric, even? Did you tell him the same thing?
No, I haven't even spoken to them. It was Tyler that organised that.
That's absolutely hilarious.
And you know, we've been talking on the podcast about a new trick that you've got coming out soon that I'm currently showing you. And you know, we've joked because you're like, yeah, my next release isn't going to do very well, and we've joked because I'm the one that's like, you know, like helping the project and presenting it and everything. Yeah. I showed it to Blake Voigt. I was sitting down and sessioning with Blake Voigt, and I showed it to Blake Voigt, and he was like, "That's incredible. I absolutely love that."
What?
Yeah. And everyone I've shown this thing to absolutely loves it. So, you know.
Man, that's so kind. Thank you so much.
I think you're underselling it a little bit.
I didn't. Well, it's not that I'm underselling it. It's just that, like, Lux Incognito, like, in my opinion, and I'm biased, so don't take it full-heartedly, but they were, like, pretty revolutionary and pretty big, where this isn't so much revolutionary as it's more super practical. People will be familiar with it, but I think it's more of like, oh, I wish I'd thought of that, or that's the way it should have always been done from day one sort of thing. So it's just that, like, so, do you know what I mean? So I was really excited to share something revolutionary with Cognito and Lux. With this one, I'm just like, I'm excited for people to just get this in their hands. Do you know what I mean? Just to see it.
Talking about Lux, by the way, I think I mentioned this to you, but I'm going to tell everyone. I had a guy come over to the stand, and I really wish I could remember his name because I can't. And he did the same thing as everyone else does. Everyone was like, that. The question I got, the two questions I got the most were, "Where's Lloyd and where's Ryland?" That was it. Like, "Where's Lloyd? Where's Ryland? Where's Lloyd? Where's Ryland?" It was like, you know, just linked. Anyway, this guy said, oh, I really wish Lloyd had come because I've got this I've got this presentation of Lux I really wanted to show him. And I was like, well, tell me and I'll, you know, and I'll tell him and I'll show him. And he's like, okay, well, it's all about, you go up to somebody and you talk about, do you believe in spirits? Do you believe in ghosts? And whatever they say, you say, well, I'm gonna prove to you that you can make spirits come. And he says, right, okay, I'm going to point my finger at my head and slowly move my finger down and just say stop anytime you want to. And he does a timing force, so they pretty much always stop on his crotch. He's like, okay, so that's where we're going to, that's the area, okay? He's like, okay, we're going to try and make the spirits come right there. And he gives them the UV light and he tells them to shine it at that area. And he just stands there going, spirits come, spirits come, spirits come. And then as they're shining the light at his crotch, a massive cum stain appears all over that area. And he's like, well, it looks like the spirits came.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
Personally,
okay, see, I wish I would have.
Lux ever.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we'd always talked about with the guys when I was creating it. You could use it for stuff like that. But to actually see and do it. One of the other things that I always said to do as a joke was to be get UV fluid and put it into a little spray bottle, you know, like a tiny spray bottle, yeah. And secretly spray it on someone's crotch. Because it's UV and it's only a fine spray mist, they wouldn't see it or notice it. So you could do it on other people and have them jizz their pants without knowing it.
That's funny. Oh my God.
I'm trying not to laugh at the way everyone, because I've got this horrible cough.
Well, my friend Justin Styles, my friend, you know, Tom Mullinger, Justin Styles.
Yeah.
He messaged me.
Yeah.
He's got Lux, and he messaged me afterwards and he said, the problem with Lux is you're going to have all of these single magicians that are just completely socially inept sitting in their bedrooms practicing Lux and realizing just how many cum stains there are all over the bedroom.
Yeah, don't perform Lux with your parents in the same room.
So, yeah, I mean, have you seen anything else new that we can talk about from a product point of view?
I talked about Mehdi Linfield's Tempus. I don't think so. Not product point of view. I'll talk about this because this happened Tuesday. I put up a YouTube video teaching this old card box switching thing that I came up with donkeys years ago. And I ended up taking it down because, and it's a good important lesson, I think, for anyone that's sort of getting into creative stuff and whatever. Sorry, I'm just messaging George because he's trying to call me. But basically, I'll say the creator's name on here. But Adrian Vega reached out to someone and said that he felt the method was too similar to something he had put out. Which, looking at his, even though they are different and done with different objects, the methods overlapped for sure. But mine was more inspired by David Regal and John Kennedy. So I got the email, looked at the facts of the situation. I thought, yeah, do you know what? This guy, Adrian, even though people wouldn't see them as the same necessarily, if the guy felt uncomfortable with it, then take it down. And I just posted a new video today explaining that, saying that, you know, when you look, you can, when someone calls you or calls someone and says, hey, I think this method is similar to mine, people get basically a moment where they can make a decision, where they can say, fuck you, I don't think so, and they can go forth with it. Or they can say, well, I've had a look at it. Yeah, I think there's a lot of overlap there. You know, they are different, but also, you know, the same. So I took it down and I emailed him and I said, hey, my email title was My Sincere Apologies. I said, hey, Adrian, just got word that, you know, you weren't comfortable with my thing being out there. So just to let you know, I've taken it down, and I want to apologize for there being like an overlap here. And I wish we were introduced to each other under more positive terms. And I hope we can meet up and have a jam sometime in the future. And he wrote back a really lovely message. You're like, oh, thank you so much. No, I totally get it. Like, thanks for reaching out. And just like, it was a non-issue. And because I'd done it the right way, as opposed to doing what some people, you know, some people, like, they find out something's been done before and they go, they just flip their lid and they're like, you know, they become too overprotective with it or too precious. And then what I say in the video is that, and this is true, is that I think it was, again, and I always say this, it's a positive experience for two reasons, but one's important to me. One, I now know Adrian Vega and we're cool and there was no drama and it was handled correctly. And it teaches other people who are watching, who are learning in or creating in any capacity, what happens, because you can't, it's unavoidable. You're going to create the same things as other people. That's unavoidable. Yeah. But it's how you handle it, which is important. So the first thing that's positive is that now me and him are cool. We now know each other, which is cool, which is great. And it was a non-issue. The important thing that came from it, though, for me, which is always the same, is that now I'm forced to not use that method. And I'm forced to create my own method or look for more future methods. And a lot of my magic that I've created has been born from either thinking I've created something and finding out it's been done, or someone telling me it's been done before, or looking at what exists and saying, I refuse to use those methods because I don't like them, for like flap cards. I hate flap. I always talk about that. So now I love the, it was a card switch on a box device. I love that sort of plot, but I'm not going to use that method now. And I'm not going to use existing methods that are out there. So it's going to force me into new territory creatively. And I find that eventually you'll come upon something which no one's explored before. And then you get into these exciting areas where you have a new concept or principle that's never been done, which is yours. Yeah. And then you can do some really exciting stuff. So the positives from it were, it's a good lesson to everyone to see that, yeah, this happens and how to handle it properly, the right way. And secondly, I'm excited because immediately I've got like 10 new ideas, starting points to go from. And one of them I'm really excited about exploring because I haven't seen anything like it. And I think the end result could be much better than what I originally had. That's so great. Yeah, that's sort of what's been going on, not product wise, but like creation trick, new trick wise. I think the best thing about the overall thing is that I find it as a massive positive experience, and I think other people should too when it happens to them.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, well, what else? If we're all about new stuff, I come up with in my sleep an idea. This is not a joke. I woke up in my sleep and had an idea, wrote it down on my phone, tested it on my friend Midge, and then I performed it on my episode of Fooler today. And I can try it on you if you want.
Yeah, right now?
Right now? Yeah.
On the podcast. Yeah, let's
do it. On the podcast. Everyone can do this at home right now. I'm not even joking. So hopefully this should work if people follow along, if you follow along correctly. So if your phone is out, close your phone. And I just need your attention for a few moments.
Right? Got it.
Okay, so you know how, you know the birthday card plot?
Yeah.
You know how basically, depending on your birthday, everyone has a card which equates to themselves.
Yeah. Right?
And this is because playing cards, I'll run through it really quickly for anyone that doesn't know. There's 52 cards in the deck, 52 weeks in a year. All the cards add up to 365 with value, plus the four suits are the four seasons and the 13 lunar phases, which are the 13 values within the suit, right? Playing cards. So we all know this. We're magicians. No, I don't think laymen listen to this podcast. In Greece, they celebrate a name day. So we celebrate birthdays. In Greece, it's true. Titana told me. They celebrate their name day. And did you know that everyone has a name card? So... Nope. No, which I think is quite fascinating because it's a new sort of area to go into and it's quite personal. But here's the issue. I'll tell you how you work out your name card now. It's really simple. I know you. I know your name. You know me. My full name is Lloyd Thomas Barnes. Because I can know information about you, I want you to specifically think of somebody where you know their full name. So first, middle, and last. Okay. I don't know who you're thinking of genuinely. Right? So this is really simple. All you need to do is count how many letters are in their name. I know this sounds difficult, but I promise you the end result is really easy to get from along with. And by the way, anyone listening to the podcast right now, do the same thing. So everyone count up, think of somebody's name that I couldn't know, make sure it's the first, middle, and last name, and then count up how many characters there are. Don't even tell me anything. Don't tell me anything, right? I don't want to know.
I got it.
Yeah. So really quickly, if you were thinking of, this is how you work out the card. If the name you were thinking of was Joe Blogs, right? You count J-O-E-B-L-O-G-S, which comes to B-L-O-G-S is 5 plus Joe is 8. That's 8 letters, right? Very simple to do. So you count 8 letters, and then you figure out a playing card that has 8 characters. For example, 2 clubs, T-W-O-C-L-U-B-S, got 2 it. Clubs, right? So many different cards you can think of, right? The one thing I'd say is that I think I worked out my card is the 3 of diamonds. Try not to go for my card, but go for any card. And just avoid the obvious. Like, really don't go. Everyone thinks of, like, the queens, right? Or women specifically, because they associate it. If they're thinking of a woman, they think of a queen. I think that's too obvious for me to guess. I think you say that. And we all know that the most commonly thought of number is 7. That's not even a magic trick at this point. So just do that. Just avoid the obvious, but figure out what playing card is this person that you're thinking of's name card.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%?
100%.
So let's think about this. You're thinking of any person. I don't know who it is.
No.
Right? I know no information about this person.
No.
And you've worked out their name card. And every person, every single person listening to this will have a different name card, right?
Yeah.
I have one playing card here. These are back shown to you. This is not set up in any way.
No.
For the first time, name that card out loud.
The 8 of diamonds.
The 8 of diamonds.
Oh, that's good. Man, that's clever.
So that's on my tutorial Tuesday.
Really good.
Thanks, dude. It's 100% surefire. As long as the instructions are followed, they can't miss it. But what I like is that the birthday card plot is a really interesting hook to spectators. Better than just saying, think of a card. Oh, that's it. You know? And this is, it's a different take on it. Like, it's everyone has their own name. Everyone has their own name card. But it's surefire. So essentially, but it's all explained in my tutorial Tuesday. But I was really excited about that because I did it on the missus and it fucked her up. But I didn't think it was. I thought she might have just seen straight through it. So it was really thing. Anyway, yeah, glad they worked on you as well.
Can I give you a thought on this,
please?
It's probably overcomplicating it because that's what I do, but. Imagine if you had a stack of envelopes, the sort of envelopes that have a playing card. Hang on, let me think through this for a minute. Yeah, that would work. Yes. Okay, I know what I'm doing. So imagine you had... Bear with me.
Whilst you're doing that...
Let me explain the thought. Right, okay, this is the thought. As that's always going to be the 8 of diamonds, and yeah. You know that's always going to be the 8 of diamonds, an interesting idea would be to use a peak wallet to peak the name. Because if they wrote it down on a business card, it would help them add up the letters. Because yeah. I was kind of spending ages thinking of that.
Yeah.
And that would be your justification for them writing it down. What I want you to do is write down the full name of the person that you're thinking of. Obviously, don't let me see, I'll turn around. And then use that to just add up how many letters there are in their full name. Can you do that? Great. Just put it away in my wallet because I don't want to see it. So you've peaked their name right at the very beginning. Now you do your psych force. But my thought process here is if
that's good because the card can be out in full view, so then nothing dodgy is going to happen.
Exactly. But what I was thinking is now you know the name and they don't know that you know the name, but it's always going to be the 8 of diamonds, right? So what you could do is, and I'm trying to think of a way of doing this. I'm trying to think. Okay, I've got it. So you take instead of write it right. Okay, so you have a deck of cards, yeah.
Yeah.
And instead of writing. Okay, so you have a joker on a deck of cards. Yeah?
Yeah.
You also have the eight of diamonds. So you've piqued their name, so you know the name, right? And I don't think this deck of cards has an eight of diamonds in it. We've got an eight of hearts. Pretend there's an eight, this eight of hearts is an eight of diamonds. Bear with me. This is going to make sense. So what you do is on top of the deck, you have a joker and you have an eight, you have the eight of diamonds, right? But pre-written on the joker is actually the joker's in the middle of the deck, right? Okay, boom. Joker's in the middle of the deck. Okay, the eight of diamonds is on top of the deck. You've got a joker in the middle of the deck and you've pre-written on it eight of diamonds. Bear with me, you'll see where I'm going with this. So you do the whole psych force and you say, I'm going to write down the card that I think that you're going to think of. I'm going to take out this joker. So you take out a joker, you don't show the back. You take out that joker and you say, I'm going to write on the joker what I think your card is. Now the joker already has eight of diamonds on it. So what you do is you're going to, instead of writing on the eight, instead of writing on the joker, you know, you're going to do a switch. So you're actually writing on the card beneath it and you're actually going to write their name.
So
you can show the joker and you say, I've written on here, I've made my commitment. Then you can do a second deal and take the joker out and you can put that in your hand and you say, I've wrote down what card I think that you're thinking of. And you just cut the deck at this point. So now you do the recap and you could have thought of any card. No one could have known the name, blah, 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 blah. What was the card? Eight of diamonds. And you have to turn over the joker and it's got eight of diamonds written on it. And you go, isn't that amazing? But there's going to be an eight of diamonds in this deck. And when you go through to take out the eight of diamonds, it actually has the name that they're thinking of written on the back of the eight of diamonds.
Holy shit balls.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. It's in the video, I say to Kaylee that one thing you could do, this fucking brilliant the way, because that makes it really workable, is that you can just have a birthday card and you say, and when you finally at the end, you say, who's the person you're thinking of? And she said, Becky. You'd have a thumb writer and just write Becky on the front of the birthday card. So you say, it's so strange because written on here is Becky's name. And if you thought, you know, because now all that's inside there is the eight of diamonds, it wipes away the method that it's been switched or, you know. But saying that makes me think that you could just have, because I like the element of one single card. You know, I like that display of one thing. But if you had a thumb writer on, you could write the name on the card, just the single card. So like you're saying, it's on the, they turn around, it would say, for example, Becky, but on the eight of diamonds.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's easy to peek the information because you've got a reason for them to write it down to help them count the amount of letters.
Yeah, well, this is the other thing that I really like that because Kaylee struggled with counting the letters because she's got dyscalculus. So she's the worst person to perform it on, and it worked on her great. So if she can, it gives me confidence because she could do it. You know what I mean? But what I figured is that writing down the values and what they equal, and the suits what they equal in terms of characters on a piece of paper or just having it on like a business card would make the effect faster, like super, super, super quick. Because it still is not very, it doesn't feel very forceful because what I realized from doing it to Kaylee is that she was blown away that like I figured out the person's name, even though I hadn't. She was like, do you know who I was thinking of? So it was such a personal effect that they were thinking of someone. There's no way I could have known that person. That overshadowed the method because they could have thought of anyone, air quote. You know? Which kind of wipes away the method. I thought, fuck, there's something that I didn't realize about it myself, which made it work. I don't know. Let us know what you think, guys. But it's probably shit, to be honest. And we're just getting
magic. No, fuck, man. I really like that. I really like that. And also, one of the thoughts about it is imagine doing it. I went to see the Champions of Magic live. And they opened up with an interactive trick to the whole audience where they had this thing on the screen, and it was the old Max Maven thing where if your starting position is here, move here. If you're here, now move here. So they end up on the same square, and everyone, the reaction from the audience of lay people was just like, fuck, that's amazing. Imagine doing that on the audience and having everybody think of a name at the beginning of your show, right? Okay, we're going to try something for the whole. Yeah. That's the sort of thing that would really kill in a stage show. I think you've come up with something there, really, really strong. That, you know, it would kill. It would kill.
Thank you. I'm gonna road test it. I'm gonna try a few more presentations of it to like streamline it. Like, for example, just having the values written down on a card so that they don't even have to do any memory work and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. So I think it's a good starting point. It's not finished, but I think sometimes just sharing unfinished ideas is the best way of making them better. Because like, I would never have thought of like writing on the back of a different card and then having that be inside. Like, that is interesting. There is something more to that, I think, especially because like that Eight of Diamonds you're on about could have a blue back in the deck. It could have, and yeah, all the other cards could be completely blank.
Yeah.
So like the elevation of that is massive then.
Exactly. There's so much you can do with it. I mean, to be honest, you could even have an invisible deck set up so that each card has got a different name written on the back of it.
Oh, that's quite cool. That's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the convincers. The method is explained on my channel, but one of the convincers is that I've got it.
Use a Mirage deck or a Popeyed Popper deck. So, you know, it's like a Svengali deck, but it's roughed. So every other card is like an Eight of Hearts, Eight of Diamonds. And what you have is on the back of each one of the Eight of Diamonds, you've got a different name. And it's the 26 most common names that anybody could think of. And to make sure that you hit it, you ask them to think of a female, not a male, or a male, not a female. So now you're covering 26 male names, just the first name. In all likelihood, you ask somebody to think of a male name, you're going to hit it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, so how? Why would it be male, female names? Because the...
So we have a Mirage deck, a rough deck, Mirage rough deck, yeah?
Okay.
So every other card is an Eight of Diamonds. The Force card is 26 times. It's like a Svengali deck, but it's rough, so it's a Mirage deck.
Yeah, yeah.
What you're going to do is... you couldn't do it on the back, could you? No, because the back would show. So on the front of each one of the Eight of Diamonds, at the one end here, you're going to write the name. So you're going to write Tom, Steve, James, Paul. So you're going to write the names of 26 names, right?
That's what you
can do. So, but when you spread this deck out, you can show that it's a normal deck because of the roughing. It just looks, you can say, look, I've got a normal deck, the normal fronts, normal backs, normal deck. In a minute, I'm going to take a card out of this deck. Before I do, I want you to think of a name. Can you write it down? So they write the name down. You say, count the letters. Great. Put that card away. So they put the card away. So you've peaked what the name is. You know what the name is.
Yeah.
So now...
The full name or...
You tell them to write down the full name, but you're going to predict just the... you've got the 26... most common men's names written on these cards.
Yeah.
Okay. You got the 26 most common men's names written on these cards. So you get them to write on a business card their friend Thomas Lloyd Barnes, Thomas Barnes, whatever it is, right? So they write that down there. They put that in the, they count the letters. Then they put it in the peak wallet.
Yeah.
And peak it as you put it away.
Right.
If the name, and you tell them to think of a male name, not a female name, because obviously you've only got male names in your deck. So you say, I want you to think of it. You do your whole presentation. I want you to think of a man's name. I want you to think, do you know somebody who you know the full name of? Make it a male. You do. Can you think of the full name? All that crap that you talked about, but you just add in that you want it to be a male, right?
Yeah.
Or you could have two decks, one for male, one for female, but that's just getting ridiculous. Just give them a male name. Right. So you put it in the peak wallet. So you know what the name is. But all you're concerned about is the first name. So let's say they wrote down David. All you're going to do now is you're going to say, in a second, I'm going to try and teach you how to get your name card. But before you do, I'm just going to take one card out as a prediction. So now you go through the deck and you're just spreading through the deck with the faces towards you. separating the roughing fluid, looking for the eight of diamonds that has David on it.
Got it.
You take it out and put it on the table without showing it. You then show the rest of the cards are normal, and you show the rest of the back to normal. So it's basically a bank of first names. You then put that deck away, so you've only got your one card, and you go into the presentation that you were talking about. The whole thing, what's the card? Eight of diamonds. And you turn it over, covering up the bottom end, and you go, look, I've got the eight of diamonds. But what's really weird, not only did I get the eight of diamonds, so you've got your one card, which you took it out of the deck before you even started anything. So you've got that moment. But now you're in this position, covering up the bottom half of the deck, and you go, what's really weird? I haven't even seen the name that you were thinking of. What was the name? It was Steve. That's interesting, because this is the only card that's got something written on it, and it's got Steve.
Yeah, that's good.
Are you following this?
I am following 100%. I'm doing that thing, is as you're telling me, I'm realizing how good it is, and then I'm going off in another direction, or I'm going from it as well. Like, I'm thinking...
Yeah.
So what if you did this, right? So think of somebody's name.
Yeah.
Someone I couldn't know, and you make sure it's someone that you know their full name, right? Yeah. And I'd say, I'm going to... In red, I'm going to very quickly draw a little symbol that you think of when you think of them. So what symbol do you think of?
You think of this person? Stick man.
A stick man. Bollocks, this wouldn't work. But maybe I would force this in a different way. But basically, using like Ben Williams as anything, I'd bring out a red Sharpie and say I'm going to draw a symbol. I'd already have a red heart on the card. But when I bring out the Sharpie, I would write their name and I'm not going to explain the method. But when I turn it around, it would show that the name was written in a different color ink from before. And all I would draw is the symbol they'd named as well before.
Well, you could make sure it's definitely a heart by just saying, think of somebody that you know. And just say, is this somebody that you're friends with? Yeah. So would you say you care about them? Or is this a family member? Yeah. Would you say you care about them? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to put a little heart on here then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's it. You could just say, I'm going to give it a little heart then. You've got to make it a thing, have you? You could just do it.
Yeah.
Or again, you could just use a boon writer. For the whole thing on it. And I'm just also thinking that on the back of the card, I could write down ace, two, three, four, five, six, down to king. And then the values there, and then the suits on it. So as I'm holding it and they're looking at the back of the card, they can very quickly do the maths and figure out the name card.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's something to it. I just like the whole plot of everyone has their own card based off their name.
I love it.
It's just about streamlining that principle. That moment of them just clocking what it is.
And what people are getting a glimpse of here, because we don't normally do this on the podcast, what people are getting a glimpse of here is what our 8-hour phone calls generally consist of.
Yeah.
In terms of creativity, and when you're creating something and kind of going in different directions and, why don't you do this? And then, this, and then this will spark this idea and this will spark this idea. And it's kind of how you create magic.
I love it. Yeah, we should do more of this on the podcast.
Yeah, we really should.
I just hate now that everyone else listening is going to come up with a way better method than me and you.
You know they are.
And then they'll be like, yeah, thanks for the inspiration, but you're going to be left in the dirt because this is dope, and it'll be dope, and then I'll be sad. For the circle of life continues.
Right, have we got time for a sorry, not sorry?
Fuck it, let's do it.
Okay, so I've got a subject for you.
Come on, then.
Luke Dance is a twat. Discuss. No, I'm joking. I know you'd be very silent in that whole conversation. Here's the thing. I've got a thing to talk about. So, you know, I sometimes get hate comments on the internet and people don't like me, even though I'm such a lovable guy. I don't know why people don't like me.
Yeah. You're a lovable little cunt.
I really am. There's a small cross-section of people, a small but vocal minority that have been saying, Craig's terrible at magic because he can't present. He's the worst performer in the world. He can't perform. He uses the same hack lines over and over again, and just ends up just using hack lines, and he's a terrible performer. And you know what? You see it all the time. Oh, don't use these hack lines. They don't work. Oh, this is my attitude, and I'd love to hear have a small discussion on this, is that, you know, I don't, those people that say that, I don't know if they work in the real world or not, because those hack lines that I say when I present magic, the people that I'm performing for, they've never heard those hack lines before. They're laughing their ass off, genuinely laughing their ass off. So when I say to somebody, have you ever helped a magician? Because you're not helping one right now, or it's my fault, I shouldn't have picked you, or whatever it may be, all those little lines, you judge an audience. Yeah. And when you're performing to an audience, you judge what to say, and you judge what is the best thing to say in every given situation.
In the moment.
And I want to know if people that are saying that actually really are performers. Because I don't know. I'd love to know your thoughts on it.
It's I wouldn't completely discredit them by saying they're not performers, because all it would take for them is to show you a performance video of themselves and say, see, there's me performing and getting a good reaction. But I question whether they put their audience above themselves. So I remember talking to Tony Chang. We're in New York. We're in a bar called Mother's Ruin. The girl knees up, and Tony was doing like seriously, seriously intense card magic, like in terms of like the skill level required to achieve it. And people were watching and they were impressed by it for sure. But if he had done things like Omnideck, they would have been screaming, running away down the street. You know, the layman, and he performs a lot to layman. He does this intense card magic to layman, which I always think is sadistically good. And afterwards, I pulled him to the side and I said, oh man, why? I got to ask you a question. I said, why do you choose to do this sort of stuff to layman when you could be doing, like, for example, one of the things he does, he has a card out jog on top of the deck, face up. He waves his hand over it and it vanishes or changes, sorry. And it's like, it is expert tier level sleight of hand. And you could achieve a better visual in a million different ways with ease, but the sleight of hand required for it, you must be an expert to do it the way Tony does. But like I said, you get a better visual, which would probably get a better reaction with different methods a lot easier. And I was expecting some sort of crazy or, you know, answer which wouldn't sort of satisfy me, but he just turned around and he said, because I enjoy it, man, it's for me. And I thought, what a great answer, because obviously magic's his hobby and he can share it and still entertain people, but he does that because he enjoys that, which is one thing, right? Which is one stance on it. You think of the other stance, which is these people, I don't know whether to call them magicians or not, but they perform what they think is good magic because that's what they've been led to believe, or they read the books of all the greats and stuff, and they perform and the audiences don't react very well, but to them they're doing the great stuff and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And then you see people going out there doing the stuff that works, like yourself. But you are a good performer at the same time, but doing the stuff that fucking gets reactions. And my thing is this, right? Is that like, and I've been very uppity. I've said for years that like there's certain tricks that I just don't even go near because I'm too much of a snob. Like I would never go, or I'll rephrase it, I would never go near sponge balls because that's not magic to me. However, in the past year or two especially, I'm dropping my guard a bit because this is the thing. Magic is real. I don't give a shit what anyone says. Magic is real. And I don't mean that like people can fly for real. The moment a spectator experiences magic, that is real. That experience of magic is real. Therefore, magic is real to me. Magic is pointless if we don't share it. If we don't perform it and we don't try to get the most out of our magic, we're wasting our time and we're wasting their time, right? So why would you not want to give your audience, if doing magic is the sole purpose is to create real magic because the experience of magic is real, then why would you want to take it away or give your audience a lesser experience of magic because snobbery exists?
Mm.
That's a hack line. Well, yeah, but if you get your audience on side and you get them laughing and it gives you time to focus on the end result, which is doing, get into the, you know, the sleight of hand out of the way and get into the reveal, suddenly people who are laughing at you while you're doing the dirty work because you've set a hack line which allows you to sort of go into autopilot for the move.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a room of people laughing. When it comes time to the reveal, they want you to win. They want you to get that reveal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What's your thoughts?
I personally think that you do what you can do to get the audience to react to your magic. I think that a lot of the people that say, oh, Craig uses hack lines, they need to understand. I don't think there's anybody else in the world that performs as much magic on YouTube as me. I do, you know, 7 magic lives a week. There's always a couple of live performances, which is like 9. You've got a couple of performances on the Craig and Ryan review show. That's 11. You've got performances on the review show special, which is probably about another 4. Then there's various different performances. A lot of the time I'll do 3 on magic stuff. I'm performing somewhere between 20 to 25 tricks a week, every week. That's 100 tricks a month. You know, I think you're going to get to a point sometimes where, and a lot of it, like with the review show and stuff, it's new stuff that I've just learned. So obviously I'm going to throw lines in because I haven't got a full presentation for it. You know, people hear the same thing over and over again, but I'm pretty sure they're not doing 100 performances a month, on YouTube. All I know is, you know, I see many, many workers doing the same lines that a small vocal minority of people are saying a hack. And, you know, working magicians tend to do what works for them. That's just the way it is. You know, I mean, I was speaking to Dalton Wayne, who I think is just, I've never met him before. I thought he was amazing. I really like Dalton. And he was filming me in Columbus on Thursday and Friday last week, doing some performance. I filmed 8 projects in 2 days. And we got live performances both evenings in bars. And we walked into bars and I was just walking up to strangers in the bar doing other people's tricks because I was there fronting tricks for other creators, not my own tricks. Fronting other people's tricks, having not really performed them that much before, going into a bar and getting screams and getting people like running away and getting incredible reactions. And Dalton said, you don't normally see that when you're on a shoot. You don't normally see. And Penguin have worked with me enough times to know that happens every single time. They take me to a bar. It doesn't matter which group I go up to. They fucking lose their shit. I've had people turning around to me and saying that the performance...
I've been there. I've seen it myself firsthand.
You've experienced it. Like, you've seen me go up in bars and on stage at shoots. You know, like when we filmed the Quantum Deck, there were like 12 routines. And I was going around and performing every single one of them and getting killer reactions. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, well, if the performance is that bad, why is it that everybody I perform for, are they all lying to me? Do you know what I mean? But it's not just, I'm making that about me. It's not just about me. The point is, it's kind of like, I think this is magic snobbery. I think that there's a certain group of, you know, some magicians go, oh, well, the only way you should perform magic is elegantly and flawlessly, and there's a certain...
I've been in that group. I used to be that guy.
Well, there's a certain magician who everybody considers elegant and sophisticated and beautiful magic with wonderfully constructed presentational skills and blah 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 blah. Somebody who was actually mentioned in this group of people that were slagging me off, right? A really well-known magician who about 4 or 5 years ago, I was at a multi-magician gig and they were there. It was like a corporate event. There were about 1,000 people in the room. They booked several people and he was one of the people there.
Yeah.
And I was getting every table screaming, clapping, laughing, like, yeah, that sort of thing. And he was there and he was scared to go up to tables. He was like, I've seen it happen a million times. He was kind of looking at a table, and he was walking over and then walking back and then walking over to the table again and then walking back. And then when he actually managed to go up to a table, he was performing to tables of 10, he was performing to two people while everyone else was completely disinterested. Then he went around the table and performed to another two and another two. And then the time I performed to three tables of 30 people, he performed to one table and nobody was reacting, nobody was clapping. And it took him ages to go to the next table, because he was scared, because those wonderfully amazing presentational skills that work really well on video or in a parlor show or at the magic circle, where everyone's sitting down in the Devant room going, great, okay, let's experience this wonderful moment of magic. When the conditions are perfect, yes, that is amazing. But when you're in a real world situation where everybody's throwing fucking party poppers at each other, people are half pissed, the room is really loud, the DJ's playing really loud music, it takes a certain amount of fucking skill to walk over to a table, grab their attention when they're trying to be fucking asses and being alpha male, turn it around within a few seconds and getting them screaming and clapping within 6 minutes, and then doing it again and again and again and again. And if you told me I could have the fucking same presentational skill as that person, but I'd lose my edge in terms of performing at that sort of event, no thank you. Because at the end of the day, it works in one environment, and that's fine. And if that person and I were in that environment, they'd probably come across looking better. Absolutely. But 9 times out of 10, when you're performing in a real-world situation, whether that be at a gig or socially in a bar, that sort of shit ain't going to work.
Yeah. No, it's not. And I'm saying this because I'm not a seasoned performer. I don't, you know, I'm not good. And I see it with my own two eyes time and time again. People that are just, I've seen people do reviews. I've seen people preach. I've seen people give lectures and talk about how to be a better performer. And they go over about how not to use these lines and how not to do the, you know, certain things. And then you see a performer and they shit out. They don't do it as well. Or they think the worst ones are the ones that think they perform better than they do. Those are really hard to watch.
Yeah.
You know? But I think it's such a tricky one. Like, what can you do?
Well, my attitude is to anybody who's watching magic, understand that don't be dictated to. You know, if you're new into magic and you're learning to find your own feet and you're learning to find your own way of performing something, this is something I say to Ryland all the time, you've got to find your own way.
Yeah.
You don't, just because people say it needs to be done this way, don't listen to them. Don't listen to me when I say it needs to be done that. Find your own path. And just because people say you can't do it that way, don't listen to them. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, the only person or the only group of people that you should listen to are your audiences, your customers. And if your audiences are clapping and cheering and your customers are rebooking you and they're sending you emails saying how amazing you are, well, that means that you're doing the right thing.
And it's so odd because I used to be such a snob. A lot of this comes from doing these bloody Fuller videos on the misses, where not a lot of it, but like more and more I'm learning, because I'm not a performer. But seeing what I started off by trying to do, like just straight ACANs to her, you know, and things like that, which magic bonus stuff.
Yeah.
And then like she goes and like the thing she fucking loves the most is pen through bill, which you know, you can imagine, yeah, that would be a good thing for audiences. But like, you know what I mean? Like the stuff which I thought would give magicians a magic boner plus be good entertainment was not at all what I found worked.
Yeah.
And it comes from, you know, yeah, just going out there and doing it and sort of dropping your ego a bit. Like, so I in certain videos, I drop my ego and do stuff that I wouldn't normally, like I performed Spring to Her by Johannes Mengel, which for me it was one of those tricks. It was like, ugh, like I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that type of trick. The snob in me was like, don't do it. But then she fucking loved it, and now I'm like, oh shit, I want to go and show that to more people. I didn't realize it would be that good, you know. And I think like that was just me, but that sort of came from a little bit of desperation. I didn't have anything to film that day. Also being like, oh, thinking, well, it seems to be like when I get out of my comfort zone is when I get better footage. And it's, I think it goes the same, because people spend so much time theorizing, unless you flat out like Tony Chan was like, yeah, I'm doing it for me, Well, fucking A. Great. Like, you can't argue with that. Perfect. But unless, but somebody who spends so much time theorizing and or being too egotistical or arrogant to see their own flaws, that they find it easier to criticize people, and then they don't realize that. I keep going on about it, but I read the comments of people that say, I can't remember what it was in conjunction to, but it'll come back to me. But someone was like, oh, I've done this method. There's a method for years and it works every time. Bish, bash, bosh, done. And the method is like, I don't know, but it was like, you could tell that person wasn't willing to try the new stuff or try something different, not even necessarily new. And I don't know. Yeah, I just think people need to go out there. And if you try these hack lines, quote, air quote hack lines, and do the stuff that you think isn't good. I remember watching, who was it? I think it's Johnny Chalatsis from Greece and Perseus. They came to stay with me in Wales, and they came to my like local pub, and where I go, and I would normally do like, especially at the time, like really snobbery-ish type magic, my type of magic, I would say. And this is a Welsh pub, so proper Welsh drinkers, sweary, fighty sort of local, and they just tore the roof down with sponge balls. Like they were doing sponge balls over people's heads. They were just like, the whole project we filmed was a sponge ball thing. So they were just tearing down the house with sponge balls. And it was a moment, again, a formative moment where I was like, the snob in me says, don't do that, Lloyd. But these people will remember these Greek guys over me. And I've been coming here for 10 years. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So I did it. Also, if this is about someone in specifically calling you a bad performer, and it's not to be like, well, you go, like, I know people are allowed to criticize when they can't, but I think if somebody's calling you a bad performer, then they need to sort of, they don't need to, but sort of like put your money where your mouth is there. And if I'm so bad and I get screaming reactions every time I perform, show me what I should be doing better.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I had a bit of a rant on my channel a little while ago, and I was just kind of like, my attitude is that I basically just listed everything that I've accomplished in the last 4 months. And I was like, you know, you can hate me all you want to, and you can say I'm a terrible magician all you want to, and that's absolutely fine. But, you know, the bottom line is, it's not the case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I fucking rock. I think sometimes you've got to remind yourself that you're really good at what you do.
Yeah, you do. But, man, thing is, you get a lot of eyes on you, and you're going to have people talk shit about you when they have no idea what they're talking about, and you're going to get people praising you. Think about who came up to you and bought Chop this week, and how incredible it was.
Exactly.
Arguably the greatest living magician of all time. Definitely the wealthiest, definitely the most well-known, definitely the person that knows how to perform. No offense, better than you, better than me, better than any of us. He compliments you. And didn't have to do that. Came out of his way to do it.
Yeah.
So the other person can suck a dick.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, you find your own way in life. You find your own style. My style is bad jokes. I like dad jokes. I like bad jokes. I like
British. Jokes. It's our sense of humour.
Yeah.
You tell a bad joke, you call someone a cunt, and you know they're eating on the palm of your hand.
Exactly. What was my favourite joke at the moment is, why does Santa not have kids?
Because he keeps emptying his sack on little boys' floors.
Well, that's way more hardcore than I was going. I was like, no, he only comes once a year, and that's down the chimney.
a great joke.
There you go.
Is there a joke about acne like that?
Is there? I don't know. I'm going to be telling that in my kids' shows at Christmas. It's going to be amazing.
Stephen Leithwaite has the best kids joke about... not kids joke, about a clown at a kids' party.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Stephen Leithwaite has to tell it. But have you ever heard him say it?
I haven't. I've been trying to reach out to Steve. I haven't spoken to him, but I'd like to get him on the channel for an interview.
I love Steve. He came to stay with me in Wales as well. Oh, this is the joke. What's the difference between a priest and acne?
What?
At least acne waits till the boy is 12 to come on his face.
Oh, Lloyd.
That's such a good joke.
Oh, my God. That one little comment. Okay, you can tell we got.
I just found this way. It's called worst jokes ever.
Oh my God!
I just got caught doing donuts in the parking lot. I know what you're all thinking. Who names their dog donuts? That's shit. What's the difference between apples and orphans? Apples get picked. Ooh.
Oh, dear me. Dear me. Man alive. You got one more? That's one.
Oh, God, that was offensive. Oh, this one. Your hairline goes back so far that cars on the motorway don't know which way to turn. I don't think I understand that. I'm too stupid.
Oh my God.
Anyway, fuck it. So that was a good sorry not sorry or controversial opinion. What do you think how would you summarize that? Is that don't knock it till you fucked it sort of thing? Don't mock it unless you can do it, or
yeah.
David Copperfield said I'm good, so you can fuck off, basically. It's not basically.
And just find your own voice. Don't be afraid to do something just because everyone else is telling you it's not the best thing to do.
Also, the other thing is as well, I still do like I say snobbery with air quotes, but I still do my magic that I enjoy, which I'm very much like passionate about. But I will also mix it up as well. Like I swore for years I would never do the Omni deck. Every fucking weather magician does the Omni deck. Everyone fucking does it. It's always it is that trick that gets people coming back 10 years later saying,
yes,
he made the deck vanish, or he made the deck. And I do it every time now. Every time I get a chance and I'm carrying it, I'll do it. Even though in the snob in me says, don't do it. I can still be me. I can still do my style of magic, but I can still mix it up. So but that was a good discussion. I enjoyed that. It's been a good podcast so far.
It's been a great podcast. We're nearing the end. Have we got any photos? Have we got any? Because I need to get to the airport soon. Do we have any?
This fucking thing.
Yeah. Lloyd never edits his podcast, but because I'm short-staffed at the moment due to illness and holiday, unfortunately, Lloyd's going to have to edit it.
We have a Gareth Whitty message. I can try and play it if you want.
Well, if you want to send it to me, I can play it here, or you can play it over there. It's totally up to you.
Well, let's try this. Speaker, say hello. Say hello. Craig?
Hello. Hey, I'm here.
Oh, I didn't know if you could hear me or not. Okay, and then say testing.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. This podcast is so professional.
Question coming up. 1:43 in length.
Oh my God.
All right. Oh fuck, come on, my headphones. Hang on. Bastard. Here we go.
Hello.
Right, let's go.
Why hello there. Hello Craig. Hello Lloyd. I hope your chaps are hopefully getting this file a little bit better than the last one. I don't know if I fixed the last one, but I thought, you know what? Let's find a better recording software and send you guys something that you can actually play on your system. So yes, we are using a different audio app. It should be fun. I've got to learn how to use a damn thing. But anyway, I do not have a question of the week.
Next.
In fact, I have a shout out of the week. And I'd like to say a big, big, big thank you to the guys over at the 1914. You may have heard of this site. Lots of great mentalism stuff that I have been purchasing. Please don't tell the wife, she will kill me. But then it's my money, I'll spend it on what I want to. Yeah, we've heard that line before. But anyway, no, so I've been purchasing some of their very good mentalism effects and really, really enjoying them. Distorted visions, mana, obviously the Orphic wallet I've already got. I've got the lovely Eclipse stuff as well for the ESP card.
Where's he gone?
Oh, just sort of stop playing. Here we go.
Art, which looks really, really interesting.
Fuck off. Why is he doing this?
Thing called...
Oh, you slag. Hang on. Forcing itself on me.
It's supposed to be something to do with cards or something. I know as a mentalist, I'm not supposed to be playing cards, but I think they can work very well in mentalism. I'm going to create a huge hoogly about that one now, aren't I? So yeah, something called Forecast. So I just picked it up because I was just spending some money, and we're going to find out what it's all about, aren't we? Yes. Anyway, guys, thanks again. If I do get any questions, I will try and throw them your way. If I do miss a week, don't worry, I will be back. It's just that if I've got something to say, I might as well say something distant apart from blabbering on like I'm doing now. So I'm going to go and let you carry on. So until next time, chaps, tatty bye for now. And remember, mint sauce on everything.
I do love mint sauce.
Oh, my God. So that was 1 minute of absolute nothing. So
yeah, I'm glad great you question. Chat.
I mean, he is great though, isn't he? 1914.
D's incredible. Literally,
D was here with Alexander Marsh, Alex McAleer, whichever one you want to call him. And they were on the booth, on the 1914 booth. I think they were having a really good time. So,
another reason why I wish I was there to hang out with you all. Yep. Oh, well, so that was a good podcast. That was an international podcast. Is it called international?
Yeah, and I'm heading back. I haven't watched BGT from last week. I know we normally talk about BGT. I haven't watched BGT from last week.
So I haven't because you haven't told me to. So,
well, normally you don't watch BGT unless I say, oh, there's been a really good magic act on. Watch this. That's the only time you really watch BGT, isn't it? So
it is the only time. But I don't know. Should I tune in this week?
I don't know. May as well. I'm planning on tuning in. Yeah. Well, it's a live round soon. So, you know.
Oh,
I don't know if there's going to be any other magicians on.
It would be cool if there was other magicians on.
It'd be really cool. It'd be really cool. I mean, we've had some really good magicians.
I think I might make an exception this week just because I haven't in the past. This week, I reckon we should all do it. Anyone listening, I think we should all tune in to Britain's Got Talent this Saturday live on ITV.
I think we should. I think that's probably a really good idea.
Definitely. Yeah. What time does it start? 7 p.m.?
I think it's about 7 p.m., 7, 8, something like that.
7, 8 p.m. 7 p.m., 8 p.m., tune in, ITV, Britain's Got Talent, this Saturday, because me and Craig are going to be tuning in to watch anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, we could sort of have a discussion on the podcast group about what's going on live for a change. That would be quite cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah, we'll be commenting back and forth to everyone in there. Let's do it. Let's have a little BGT party this Saturday. It's important. Get all your friends and family watching as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
I'll text the business right now. Hang on. All right, there we go. I told Kaylee we're having a BGT party and all of her family coming around. This is going to be good. It's going to be fun. I hope there's somebody we recognise on there.
Oh, you never know. I mean, there might be.
I mean, if I don't watch it, I never will fucking know, but I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it as well. And if there is, we'll find out and we'll talk about it next week right here on the Magic Podcast.
We apologise for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.